Today we have a very special episode with our very own Wendy Chavon. Wendy is the founder of three unique business ventures that all seamlessly go together: wine, flowers, and yoga. She's the founder of The Garden Psalm, Sweetness and Light Flowers, and The Sanctuary of Self. Today we get to go deeper and get to know Wendy, our transactional love co-host. In a different light, we're flipping the script as she's my guest today. I'm so excited to share her journey and really embracing what lights her up. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Norma.
I am beyond excited about this episode because we are welcoming you.
Me too. I'm
so
excited.
I feel like since we've started recording, I've had so many of my own personal friends or family just wanting to know more about you.
Oh my gosh.
So we are going to flip the script a little bit. And instead of being a co-host today, you are the guest, Wendy. Welcome to Transactional Love.
Oh, thank you, Norma.
How does that feel?
It's a pleasure to be here.
The pressure's on for me because I don't have you asking the questions with me. So we'll see how this goes. Okay. I do have to say since November, since we launched, I've seen so many evolutions of who you are and what you love and the work that you do. So I feel like this is the perfect time to pause a little bit and check in with Wendy.
Oh, yeah.
Get to know you a bit. I want to back up a lot because I feel like there's a lot I do know about you. So I'm going to try to take that hat off.
Okay, perfect. I love it.
Try to not know all the things I know about you, but then dig in a little bit more. So hopefully over the next hour, I will walk away even more best friends with you. Which I don't know how that's possible because we're basically attached to each other. But we are going to start off with a glass of wine. Why don't you share that with us?
Yes. We are drinking this beautiful Brut Rosé Cremant d'Alsace by Emile Bocquel. It's delightful. It is the perfect light pink. It's celebratory and it's so happy in the glass.
It is. And we had to pour the glass outside because it's a very sunny springtime.
It's gorgeous.
Type of wine. So before coming into the podcast studio, we made sure to be in the garden.
So cheers.
Cheers to Wendy. And I want to start off with setting the stage with someone who might not know you as well as many of our listeners. How would you describe what you do? Because I do see you as a sense of a Renaissance woman. So I'm actually very excited to hear this answer, even though I think I know, I probably don't.
So I am, what do I do? In a nutshell, I try and create and cultivate experiences for community and connection. I do that through a couple of different offerings. One is through my flowers. I'm doing the Sweetness and Light flower business. It is 100% remote and online. So it's a design studio now. So that's one of the offerings. The other offering that I just stumbled into is The Garden Psalm, which is an Instagram account that you can all follow at The Garden Psalm. And that is dedicated to pairing garden tasks with the perfect glass. I find myself out in the garden often with a glass of wine in my hand. In fact, my sweet six-year-old son, when he was like four or five, we had such a routine that I would go and pick him up from school. We'd go home. I'd get him a juice box. I'd pour myself a glass of wine, and then we'd head out into the yard and do something together. And so it was such a routine that Izzy was like, I can get my own juice box. Do you need a glass of wine? And I'm like, okay, this is what we're doing. You got it. But that was an opportunity for connection for the two of us. And we truly enjoy it. And now that we're fully falling into spring in a real way, we're getting back into that routine and it's different. It's a new year and he's growing. And anyway, so that's always been something that I personally enjoy. I'm also teaching yoga a couple of different spots here in Benicia because I think that connection both to our community and seeing people on the mat and helping them get deeper connected with themselves is something that is truly important to me. And that happens through the meditation in the garden, yoga on the mat, and then when I'm in flow with flowers. So it's deeply personal. I've literally found a way to make my life, my art, and my offering. Yeah.
And I stumbled upon our friendship through Sweetness and Light Flowers. Mm-hmm. So anytime there was a moment to celebrate, whether it was small or bigger, I would always engage with you through Sweetness and Light, whether it was flowers or a gift or I wanted to shop your lens. So I would say I've had many therapeutic moments that then created this friendship, and that's where it blossomed from. Mm-hmm. And at the time you're going through yoga certification training. Yes. So it was so interesting to watch that part of you express itself through the training that you were going through, which was very intense. I remember there was a time where you were unavailable. So it was a very intense training to get that certification. And then most recently, this Garden Psalm mm-hmm. project that you've taken on, I think is such a beautiful blend of three unique things that just feel so perfect
yeah.
together.
Yeah.
Yoga, flowers, and wine. What else could Wendy embody? It's so perfect.
It really is. It's beautiful. I pinch myself because it's a life that I spoke out loud over a year ago. I was like, I can just make a life where I put in puzzle pieces of all the things that I love. There's a way to make money doing these things. The wine part, that's the last little piece of the puzzle that I didn't actually anticipate or see coming. And I'm really happy that it's here.
I feel like you went through training with me on this podcast.
Oh, 100%. So all of season one, to
we were training for Wendy to become the best psalm you could possibly have.
Absolutely. We've paired a lot of interesting conversations with some interesting glasses of wine. So it's definitely been a training for sure. And then if you do listen back to season one, our guest Martin Reyes, he has been one of my best friends for quite some time now. And he indoctrinated me. I was giving him a shit about it. I was like, you're like a drug dealer. And now I'm like pushing for you. And
you're my dealer for sure.
Oh, trust me. Trust me.
I only buy from Wendy.
The big push for me to get into wine is so that way I can buy my wine without having to spend time with Martin. I love spending time with him. Like, he gets it. He gets it.
First of all, I love Yer and Martin's friendship. It's like the cutest, funniest thing. I love it.
So he's super busy, and like he'll be traveling to Europe and like all these different things. Like, he's got a life, like a big life. And if I need good wine, I can't get it anywhere in town. Or at least the stuff that I've fallen in love with because he's shown it to me. I can't get it here. And so I was like, can I just be your sales rep for Benicia? That's how this
happened. For selfish reasons. So I could shop this beautiful. Yes. And if you haven't listened to the episode, it's episode 8 of season 1. Mm-hmm. And the way Martin and his company, where he's a partner at WineWise Curate, is obscure but also beautiful families that are producing wine all over Europe, bringing it to the States. And now in Benicia, where we live, you'll be able to find it throughout our town. So thank you, Wendy, for taking that on selflessly for all of us.
Yes, it is my mission to bring us some more good wine. So that's that last puzzle piece. But it really has created this life for me that's flexible and full of all of my favorite things.
Let's talk a little bit about Garden Psalm. Let's break that down, because I know a few psalms, but there's something special about what you're doing that to me, I'm like, yes, sign me up. Because even just pouring this glass in our garden today, there's something about that ritual. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what that means and how someone can engage with you as a garden psalm.
Drinking in the garden, drinking while gardening, allowing your brain to fully relax, and then also having that physical connection with nature is some of the best therapy I can think of. There are so many lessons to be learned in the garden, whether it's seeing a flower stuck in bud form for too long and that it withers because it can't actually open, or seeing a rose open up too quickly or before a big storm and having the petals be totally destroyed. Or I have this one rose bush in my garden right now that the heads are too heavy for their necks. The stems are so weak because the bloom is so big that they just fall over. These are human problems in plant form, right? Like, there are so many metaphors to be seen in the garden. Nature is a great healer. I think a lot of the times, what is best for us is to get out of our homes, out from behind our desks, go for a walk, just go get some fresh air. It's as simple as just getting into nature, a perfect opportunity to clear your mind and re-engage with your center self. Yoga does that as well, but through movement, right? And then flowers also do that. It brings the beauty of outdoors inside, right? So I'm constantly thinking about how nature is our greatest teacher. So it is a circle where
beautiful,
it's all
trifecta.
It really is all connected. We have these big mountains that we have to scale that disconnect our bodies and our brain our experience in life and who we are truly within ourselves. And a lot of the times we can bypass that structure, take over that mountain through meditation, which is what yoga helps us do. The whole point of yoga is to get our bodies into better physical shape so that way we can sit for long periods of time doing nothing. So the idea of wine is that it helps reduce the barriers that we create for ourselves. It gets us a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more out of our heads, and a little bit more into that present moment. Whenever I would do workshops at the flower shop, I always served wine or champagne or something, along with non-alcoholic options as well. A lot of us are so wrapped up in how we think we're being perceived or telling a story that we don't necessarily need to be telling ourselves. This liquid lubrication allows us to set those things down.
I'll never forget, early in our friendship, you said something to me that flowers help you be present because they will die. Mm-hmm. And you have to enjoy them in the time that they're available to you. And that presence is also something we can get through wine. Mm-hmm. And I love the marriage of those things. And of course, our body being a vessel to that. So Right. It's beautiful.
Right. The body is the experiencing factor, right? Yeah. So the point of both flowers and wine is that they are only here with us for a moment, but they do tie us back to these deeper stories, right? So the growers of the flowers and that whole story about where they come from and how they get to me. And the
same agriculture story, and viticulture.
Yep. The same story is true with wine. So it's so parallel on so many levels that it's an easy philosophy for me to get deeper into and understand. What the Garden Psalm is going to be offering is we have this Instagram account that will be little tips and tricks for your garden. It'll also be great glasses to pair with different garden tasks. We're in zone 9B, so that's something to keep in mind when you're following along with me, is that all of my garden tasks will be highly specific for this zone. But that to be said is that there's so much enjoyment to be had doing even these mundane, like I was picking camellia blossoms up off the ground. There's so much joy to be found if you have the right glass to pair with it.
It just occurred to me as you were saying that when we poured this glass, we did it in front of my jasmine, and the aroma piece is something I didn't even quite think about until we were out there, and it was just pungent, beautiful perfume. And usually you pair it with food, right? But Thinking about pairing it with the aroma of flowers Sounds just lovely. Lavender. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for August now. Yeah. Lavender. What are we going to be pairing with lavender?
I know. Yes. And I literally just wrote like a little poem missive about the hit of jasmine I get when I open my front gate. There's something so sensual about being in the garden. I really do think that there are so many experiences that happen in the garden that allow us to get closer to ourselves because we're pulled out of the mundane tasks of dishes or paying bills or whatever. Those things don't really serve us, but being outside, we're putting in time and energy into something that we get to enjoy right back.
So I have to give a little bit of a different perspective for anyone listening who's not a gardener, because I don't think all of us are.
Yep.
I had to ask Wendy, what's the opposite of a green thumb? And she said black thumb. And I just thought of Mr. Deeds with his black foot. But I think there's someone like me can still appreciate more of the organic, like whatever can stay alive, wonderful, but I'm not a cultivator. I'm not really great at keeping plants alive, and I wish I was, but I'm not. I think what you're doing is helping me appreciate nature and flowers and gardening in a way that I haven't been able to before. So I think it's for everyone, and it's about that presence and getting that vitamin D and being outside and putting your phone down. So I'm excited to dig into you a little bit more.
Yes. Okay.
So we've become very fast best friends. I feel like with 0 to 100, right?
I feel like that's my mode right now. But yes. That's where we're at. Yes.
But I'm going to pretend like I don't know anything about you.
Perfect.
You're very tied to the earth and everything that you love and you stumbled into in your work. Tell me about what that means in your childhood. Where did you grow up?
Yeah, so I grew up on the central coast of California in a town called Atascadero, which I would love some more. Thanks, Norma. Atascadero means mud hole in some language.
Spanish.
Okay, there you go. Spanish. So the thing about California is that there's lots of influences in the language of how we've named California. So it's either Native American or Spanish most all the time. So it means mud hole. And I've known that since I was a kid. We all hated being a stick in the mud or all of these different things. It's on the Central Coast of California, which is about 3.5 to 4 hours away, depending on how fast you drive. Okay. Atascadero's inland. We're separated by a mountain range to the ocean. So it's actually pretty similar to where we are now. What's interesting about Atascadero, Paso Robles, Templeton is that Templeton and Paso Robles are becoming like a wine destination now. Yes. And back into Psalm Hat. I grew up understanding that weather, that experience of having the fog come in the morning, having the hot afternoon sun. My mom and my dad got divorced when I was like 11 or 12. So my mom, who is a working mom, she worked her ass off for the three of us kids. I'm the oldest. And then my sisters.
We both have oldest daughter syndrome.
We do, for sure. So what that meant for us is that there was a lot of free time spent outside. My mom on the weekend, she'd be like, get out of the house. I need to clean. I need you out of my hair. Go run around. Go be in nature.
Can you remind us of the age difference? Because I think that matters.
Yeah.
So the threes.
My sister and I are 14 months apart, super close. I hated her most of my existence. And then once we got old enough, I was like, oh, you're cool. I like you. And now we're
what
best friends.
What is old enough? What age?
I guess we finally started making peace around high school. Right. Okay. And then when I moved away to college, it became real. I was like, okay, I'm the older sister. I'm doing this thing. And then Shannon stayed home and went to school at home. And she had her own experience of what that was like. And so we had these different experiences that we could inform each other with. And so we became friends then. But it wasn't until the end of high school and then into college years.
And then your brother?
7 years younger than me. So he's the baby. And he acts like an oldest and an only also. So he's a whole other ball of wax. But the three of us would go outside and we would play and we would run around and we'd do all kinds of stuff. And I was usually the one like making the games and like running the show. And we did all kinds of different things. But the point
the
was
Capricorn.
That, yeah. Come on. Yeah. I got to be in charge. I'm the oldest and a Capricorn. I got to be in charge. I'm running the show. We did circuses. We did different obstacle courses. We did all kinds of different. We were just constantly creating. My best friend, her mom and her dad and mom owned their own business. But the dad was the one who was like running it all the time. And mom was like staying at home and taking care of the kids and running some back end stuff. And so their relationship was also bifurcated. So our families really enmeshed a lot. There were six of us running around outside all the time, creating, like making coffee with weird beans that I found and mixing it with water.
Oh my gosh, you're so windy, even at that age.
There was nothing that we couldn't make with what we found and in our imaginations. And
so that's
how I grew up. That was my childhood. And then high school was doing band and drama.
What did you play?
I played the clarinet.
I think about the beautiful instruments that can stand alone. There's not that many, right? So it's the accordion, the saxophone, the clarinet.
Yeah. The clarinet's great.
I feel like that. I love the solo instruments.
Mm-hmm. Trumpet is also trumpet. Really amazing.
Yeah. My brother played the tuba growing up, and it's not one of those instruments.
Yeah. Yeah. There have been some trombone players in my life that I don't need to see or know about ever again. They're backup instruments
100%.
At best. Yeah. My very first boyfriend was also the number one seated clarinetist in band. I have this band of affection. If you play a musical instrument, I'm like your best friend immediately.
If I were to hand you a clarinet, can you play today?
No.
Okay. If I feed you a few glasses of wine and then hand you a clarinet, can you play?
I have a clarinet at my house, so we can test.
We'll try it out. We'll try it out on Friday. It's Friday.
Okay.
We'll report back, guys.
So anyways, I was in band. I was in journalism. I was in speech and debate. That's where I really shine.
Oh my goodness. You were such a debater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
So, in a good way.
Yeah. All of these different exposures allowed me to understand how people think, how they communicate, how they engage in new and different ways. Several years ago, I was talking with my best friend from college and I was walking up and down First Street doing something I don't even know. And I just called her up. And she's like, Wendy, I am so proud of you doing this flower shop. It is literally the culmination of your entire life. And aww. I was like, oh, it is. It literally is. It's all of the things that I love wrapped into one offering.
You do it so effortlessly too. So you sent me this collection of flowers one day. I was like, okay, I'm going to be a Wendy. I'm going to put this together. Oh, nope. It looked like this hot mess. Even though the flowers were gorgeous. I mean, it was a gorgeous piece. Just, it was hard to not be because of the flowers.
Right.
But I managed to not make it as beautiful as it could be.
Yeah.
And it made me really, truly appreciate you and the effortlessness that you put into It's about composition and color and texture and simplicity, right? And pulling back. We've talked a little bit on this podcast around how artists, do I need to add more? Or that tug and pull of, has it arrived? Like, when is something complete? I've watched you for the journey of our friendship, and I will say you're the best florist I've ever encountered in my entire life.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet. Thank you. So I'll just move on into college. I went to college and studied philosophy at Mills College, and I was going to be a lawyer. And then while I was there, one of my philosophy teachers didn't know that he did this, but he said, unless you're planning on paying off your student debt for the rest of your life or working for a large corporation, you need to seriously think about what it is that you're doing and how you were spending this undergrad money, basically. It was a private all-girls college and extremely expensive. Mills didn't have a poli-sci department. I think we maybe had a history department, but we did have this thing called politics, legal, and economic analysis, PLE. And that was the feeder undergrad for law school.
Got it.
So I enrolled in PLE. That was what I did. And while I was there, I studied political science. I took some economic classes and I took a couple philosophy classes. And then I took a little hiatus because I was engaged to my high school sweetheart. And that's a whole other Oprah, but we don't need to go into. Anyways, I came back and was fully focused on philosophy. And that's when my teacher was like, just make sure you know what you're doing. And I was like, oh, wait, I don't know what I'm doing. And at the exact moment that conversation happened, I was taking this class in the philosophic realm of aesthetics. And we were digging into, there's so much of the like basics, like Descartes and Nietzsche and Plato even, that happens in like these earlier classes. But in aesthetics, we got deeper into this conversation, this interplay between the art and whatever art looks like or is to you is a million different things. The person who creates that thing and then the person who receives that thing. And it's this conversation that doesn't happen in real time. It happens over time.
We've actually talked a little bit about this with many of our guests. It comes up when you say, I got stuck in aesthetics.
Yes.
And then we dig into their perception of how their art is being perceived back.
Right.
And I love this thread because as I'm hearing you have these conversations with our guests, I was really intrigued. That was the one thing that gave you a pivot, right? That was a fork in the road.
Okay, that was
tell me why.
That was it. Because I just fell in love with this whole idea about what it means to be an artist. Can you actually be seen or heard through art? It was just this explosion. And so I had this conversation happen with this teacher where it was like, do you know what you're doing? And I was like, no, I don't, because now I'm going on this beauty path, basically. It's this pursuit of beauty. This is what I loved. It fired me up. When you find the thing in college that fires you up, you have to follow it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this, but this is the thing. Yeah. And I can't go work in corporate law. I can't do that. So I left.
When I introduce you to someone who doesn't know you, not only do I say, okay, one of my dearest best friends in life, period. Also, I say philosopher before I say florist.
I know.
And I think you've noticed that because it's the way you think. And I love that about you and that lens that you have. Philosophy is a way to be in this very theoretical, very all-encompassing place. You found philosophy through what you thought was your path, but you really, philosophy was your path when you think about it.
Like, because
you're applying that to flowers, to the body,
100%,
to wine,
100%.
Right? Like, and it's your whole life. It's how
100%. That is true. It's like the way that I approach thinking about either like thinking or being is through a philosophic lens. And every experience I have is really based around this pursuit of beauty, though. Again, I really did get stuck in aesthetics. And I was having a conversation with your other philosopher friend, and she was like, tell me about who inspires you and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm not a current philosopher. I'm not in it the way that she's in it right now. But this is my ripple. Constantly engaging other people to think deeper about their experiences and why they're having their experiences. Because it's a conversation that they're having with themselves, with their outside world. It's the inner and the outer, yes, and that interplay.
Okay, so you pivoted to City College in San Francisco?
Yes, I went to City College to transfer. So the thing about a private all-girls college is that it's super specific with the credit system. And when I realized that I wasn't going to be able to do the law I wanted to do, because at that point I was still going to practice law. I was going to do pro bono, ACLU, important work, which 100% so important. And I highly respect everyone who chooses that path, because it was going to be mine. I had to matriculate my credits. So they went from being this ridiculous thing that Mills College set up to a state school. And I talked to all of the counselors about the best way to do this. The best way to transfer to a state school is to go to the City College, get all of that credit transferred into a system that they can easily recognize, and then transfer after another year or so.
Yep.
So I was in a holding pattern at City College of San Francisco for a year. And I took writing class. I took an art and design class. Like, I was really like biding time. I was going to take classes
that you would enjoy.
I would enjoy and would get me credits in the direction that I was going, but not necessarily like the hard hitters. So while I was there, I took a floral design class as like my elective sort of relaxy sort of thing. In this class, you had to go to the grocery store and buy your own flowers. There was nothing provided. You showed up, you brought all of your own flowers for each class. There was a list for each class that you had to get.
I love this so much.
It was 100% on my dime, right? Like, yeah. I've already paid for the credits for the class.
And you're like a poor college student. I'm a so you're poor like, where can I get student? Cheap flowers?
I'm working full time. I'm managing a beautiful boutique in San Francisco at the time that specializes in organic and natural products. I've always had a job.
Okay,
since
so
I was 16.
Okay, yeah. And you worked at a hardware store.
I worked at a hardware store.
Throughout this entire journey, you've been holding retail jobs.
Always boutique retail, like never corporate retail, always boutique retail. So always mom and pops. Always complicated work environments. Working at a hardware store, you're solving a lot of problems every day for a lot of different people at all different skill set levels. Was constantly thinking creatively.
Creatively, but also as a utilitarian. You take this floral design class. Mm-hmm. You probably don't expect to just absolutely explode in love, right?
I'm supposed to just relax here, but my teacher is like, you have an eye for color and I can't train that. There's lots of things I can train you on. I can train you on how to process flowers properly, how to design even, but you have enough cones in your eyes that you see color better and different than many other people.
Wow. And I would also add texture, because when I see your pieces, it's color, yes, but it's also the texture. When you see these petals, I'm looking at a piece that you put together for our launch party that dried up, and we purposely kept it in the podcast studio. And when you look at that composition, it's the same exact kind of little stem. What kind of flower is that?
Status. It's really not exciting.
It's not exciting, but the composition of it is stunning. And it's the simplicity of one color, one stem. I just can feel the awe.
Thank you. That's sweet of you to say. So the thing about the flowers is also how the wine works. So I'll bring this all together. So I didn't finish a degree in flowers either, but I will say that what I learned was just enough to get me going. I learned the rules to know how and when to break the rules.
Out of that class?
Out of that class and two more classes. I did take three or four classes of floral design.
So at one point you decided, I'm going to do this for a living. Talk about that.
Yeah. So in the classes, I was introduced to my first mentor and worked for her for two seasons.
She had a floral shop?
She had a design studio in Berkeley. I always tell people that once I found flowers, my life just took off on its own path. It was me meeting flowers. I'm from a line of artists. Although I was outside all the time, my grandmother was an oil painter. My mom has always done art. Yeah. I come from a line of female artists who use some sort of medium to express themselves in a world where we aren't asked to.
Yeah, and I've seen one of your mother's paintings in your home, and it's not an amateur type of, this is a beautiful painting that captivated me, and I had to ask. You were like, that's my mother's.
Yeah. So I come from this line of artists, and while I was at junior college, I was like, I'll explore art. So I did take like a graphic design class. Like I took an art or a color theory class. Like I was exploring art to find my medium, because I had tried drawing. I had tried painting. I felt like I was failing everywhere. I was in music. I've had these impulses to express myself in some creative way for a very long time, but I hadn't found my medium. And when flowers found me, I was like, oh, you're beautiful already. And then I can just enhance you ever so slightly what you're already doing and bring you to other people. And it becomes my art, but I'm not the artist. Mother Nature is the artist, mm-hmm. and I'm composing it or curating it mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. So
I love that you're a composer.
And I think that's true of the wine work that I do too. I didn't make these wines, right? They were toiled over by other people before they got to me.
They're harvested too by other people, just like your flowers.
Just like my flowers. And the toiling that happens in flowers too. It's not just that they're grown from seeds. It's that we obsess over flowers. When you grow a flower, you obsess over its growth. And like I said at the beginning, there are roses that open up too quickly, or there are roses that their stems don't hold their heads. And it's a rose. It's been around forever. It's one of the first cultivated flowers. And for it to fail so insane, it is an insane failure of this plant. How does this keep happening? And it's my job as the gardener to protect it and give it its best opportunity.
That's millennia of evolution. There's this working with the elements that you're handed and making beauty from that.
Right.
Every season. And seasonality to me is so relevant to each of the three things that you offer, whether it's flowers or wine or our own bodies. I was just telling you, the weather's beautiful. I'm in such a good mood.
Right.
This Saturday it was rainy and cold. I was happy to just be at home watching movies. There's something about the weather and agriculture and viticulture that really helps provide the context for our being. You're embracing that and then expressing it.
Yes.
In the most beautiful way. So thinking back to Wendy in philosophy class, what advice would you give her as she's like, whoa, I don't know what I'm doing, when that professor told her that?
Oh, geez. Okay. So honestly, that Wendy already knew what to do. It's so funny because we ask our guests this question all the time. And when I think about it for myself, I'm like, I have always just done the next thing, right? I've never worried too much about what was going to happen next. Advice is usually one of those things where it's, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. Everything works out. And I didn't feel that in that moment. I didn't feel like I didn't have a North Star in that moment. Mm-hmm. The thing that keeps changing is the raison d'être. It just keeps shifting a little bit. My reason for being is to, honestly, even back then, I wanted to create safety for people. When I wanted to go work for the ACLU, I wanted to protect people, constantly creating safety. And whether that's through connecting with oneself more deeply, which is, I think, what my true essence, desire, point of being is to help people find safety within themselves, which is so funny because I told you earlier, I was like, I don't really want to say sanctuary of self on the podcast, but that's really what all of my work is for, is finding that space that feels good for you. It's literally for no one else. Our lives are not for our children. They're not for our partner. They're not for anybody. They're not for our mothers. They're not for anyone other than us. And reminding people that their own safety is their own job. That is it. That's your one work, is to create the safety, create your joy, find the moments that bring you closer to you. That's what I do in all of my work.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I've engaged with you in all three of those ways, even though I'm not great at yoga.
I'll get you there.
But I definitely feel that sense of safety. And so thank you for holding that space for so many of us. And I'm hoping that this conversation helps ripple for others to find whatever it is to create safety for themselves.
And there's so many ways, physically even. Yoga is just one way. There's breath work, there's dance, there's so many different ways for you to get more integrated within your body, to connect into nature, going for hikes or going out in your garden, painting or music. These three different facets, connection to nature, connection to creativity, and connection to yourself, those are the things that I want to continue to inspire people to explore, because that is where we find safety.
Yeah.
Either expressing ourselves, saying our piece, being heard, being seen. That's the creative part. Being in our body, knowing ourselves deeply, both emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, and then being connected to Mother Nature, experiencing that outside of ourselves, the bigness, the vastness.
Yeah. So what would you tell that little Wendy?
That little Wendy is just like, keep going. Yeah. Just keep going. There's nothing about my path or my experience that would advise her any different.
Yeah.
You are on it. You're going. You are doing. Like, keep
even
on.
Even though you might not know, or someone right. just told you, you don't know what you're doing.
Oh, but my heart yeah. was breaking, right? Yeah. Like, I broke up with my fiance at the time. I moved. There was so much turmoil happening all around me that it could easily have gone several different ways. But the point is always been, keep on your path, right?
Yeah.
And I think over the last year, there have definitely been times where I'm just like, what the fuck am I doing? Like there have been so many thoughts or iterations that have come to my mind of different things that I could be for the world. But what's true is those three things, that creative, the body connection, and the connection to something bigger than us. That's it. Those are the things that really bring me joy. Yeah. If I'm sitting here trying to figure out how can I inspire other people to feel what I feel, I wake up every morning and I'm happy to be alive. And I want everyone to have that experience. I know that there's tons of people out there who are like, is it Tuesday? Is that a work day?
Or is there going to be food on the table? Do right. I have a place to live? Yeah, there's a lot of experience of life.
I won't say that my experience isn't free from struggle. There are definitely days when my bank account is close to zero. And that's not to say that the abundance that I have or available to me is always there. I'm always safe and I am always protected. And I know that it doesn't get not scary sometimes. Like, there are some times where I'm scared about where I'm going and whether or not this is the right path. But knowing that my North Star is inspiring other people to find their North Stars is it. And yeah. continuing to live in those ways that allow me that opportunity for them to see a different person, our stories that we share here. I love hearing about how people get to where they're going, because it's never a straight line. And once they find their way to their path, they're like, oh, duh, this mm-hmm. is where it was the whole time. But it's never clear, and it's sometimes scary, and sometimes there's a corner that you can't see around, and that's okay, because we get through it by keeping going, yeah. right? Like, we just keep going.
Yeah, there's no other way to get past it than through it. You yeah. have to go through it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how someone can transact with you.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just
took a sip. How can we transact and get Wendy?
Yeah. So there's a couple ways. One, you can buy flowers from Sweetness and Light, flowers.com. You can follow on Sweetness and Light.
On Instagram.
On Instagram and Facebook. You can sign up for a subscription. Those are really great, actually, because then I know the flowers I need when I need them. You get flowers on a regular basis. That's my favorite thing. And you can do those weekly, or you can do them monthly, or you can even do every other week.
Can you do it if you're not in the Bay Area?
You can't do it if you're not in Benicia/Vallejo. So it's okay. Hyperlocal.
Okay.
But you can definitely follow and support in that way and amplify. For yoga, come to class. That's the best thing you can do. You can yes. sign up and have a membership at COPAS, which is where I teach once a week every Tuesday night. So that's where I'm jetting off to now. And then Sunday mornings, I'm at Benicia Health and Fitness, which is colloquially, I love that word.
I'm not going to put it in.
And I say it terribly.
I'm not going to put it in.
But don't.
Unless we have Taco Bell sponsor us.
Okay. It's also known as Taco Bell Jump. You can.
Don't say it, Wendy. Don't say it.
I saw it coming. I took the kids to Taco Bell Park. Like, we're just like, it's such a thing.
It's in
like,
town. There's this gym and a park that's right next to our only Taco Bell.
Our only.
We call everything around it
Taco Bell Park,
Taco Bell Gym, Taco Bell Cross Street.
Oh, yeah, Taco Bell Portal, because the light is forever. Anyways, every Sunday morning I'm teaching there. And that one's the $10 drop-in rate.
Yes.
And then for the Garden Psalm, which is my newest adventure that I'm really excited about, I am going to start offering garden parties. They are events where you get your five best friends or three best friends to come into the garden with you and actually do some garden work. So we always get out there and we look at our gardens and we're like, oh, where do I start? This would be so cool if I could just change this or change that. I just don't have the bandwidth. I don't want to hire a gardener.
I don't know what I'm doing, right. Which is me.
Do I need a landscape architect? What am I doing here? And then do I pay for this thing to happen where I'm just spending money to create a beautiful thing? All of that is totally fine and reasonable. But wouldn't it be better if you got 5 or 3 or whatever number of your bestest friends and you said, hey, we're gardening today, and you create memories in the garden with your besties? I curate not only the wines, but also the plants and how we go ahead about executing, irrigating, and making sure everything is happy and healthy for fortuitous future. All of those things would be my job. Your job is to bring the people, the laborers.
And also bonding. Already signed up, guys. So I'll be the first customer. I'm going to report back. I'm going to do an unboxing.
Ooh, you'll do an unboxing.
I'm doing an unboxing.
Oh, man.
I'm already the first. As soon as she mentioned this, I'm like, sign me up because I'm the worst. I'm the worst. Right. I told you. Black thumb here. And I don't technically have a yard. I have a patio and I have these pockets of what could be so beautiful and stunning, and I'm ready to enjoy it, but I'm overwhelmed and I don't want to just give my husband a task to just, you know, landscape. So I'm reporting back.
And an afternoon with the ladies, drinking wine. Yep. Drinking sunshine, wine, sunshine, shovels. Laughter. Yeah. The whole thing. I think there's plenty of opportunities for us to hang out with our friends, just drinking and having dinner.
And then it's something that is an artifact left.
You're in building your home. Together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's left there. And now you have this space that has meaning. It has memory.
And then one of your girlfriends from that night is like, yeah, you guys are all coming to my garden next, right? And we just do it on repeat.
Okay, do you have a price point? Does it depend on the project? Obviously,
it totally depends on the project.
Aside from the landscaping piece, is there the psalm piece that you want to share?
So yes. So there's two parts of it. One, it would involve an initial consultation where we sit down together, we look at your space, and then we also talk about the objectives and then who's coming. And so it's blending both of my brains where I throw events. Logistics are my thing, but also guest experience is like key. It's number one for me. In fact, I always start the wedding client consultation this way. I say, what is the guest experience you want to have? Are you throwing a midnight showdown? Are guests going to be dressed to the nines and we're having an after cocktail party? Are we doing a brunch and it's low key and it's easy? I want to know the vibe. I want to know your guest experience. What do you expect your guests to leave feeling like? Are they loved or are they partied out? What's the plan? And so my job as your psalm is to match the wine to the project. So if we're doing a bunch of heavy stuff in the hot sun, I'm going to pair that with a low ABV white or light pink offering. And that will allow us to drink more throughout the day. For these types of parties, I would say these are happening late afternoon, early evening, on the weekends with your friends, or they could be in the early morning. But midday is never the right time to do anything.
Yeah, you're going
to
be.
Yeah. 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 So we could do brunch or we could do wine on our dwarves. But those are the two opportunities to drink wine, have a good time, garden, get some work done, create some bonding experiences.
Love this.
Yeah.
So in one of our last episodes, you confessed that you fell into flowers and I got this visual of you falling into this like literal bed of petals and floating on top of these flowers. But now I see you holding your glass of wine and you don't spill a drop. You're falling into your flowers and you didn't lose your drink. And that's how I'm imagining this while you're doing a beautiful.
That's cute.
What's a yoga pose that like I can picture you in?
Shavasana.
Yeah, shavasana-ing into flowers, holding your drink, not spilling a drop. That's how I imagine you.
That's perfect.
All right.
That's
so perfect. Cheers.
Thank you
for being my guest.
Yeah.
And I can't unbox after this, actually.
Okay.
I love you.
I love you too.
All right. Bye.
This is Wendy and Norma. We love hearing from you, your comments, your likes, your stars, all of the things really resonate with us. Find us on Patreon for more exclusive episodes, early access, and